We're live.
Guys, hi everybody. It is Amala of Will and Amala Live. Unfortunately, I have some not good news to start out the show today, so we're not going to do a skit, which I know you guys are used to, so I apologize in advance. But we got note that Will is not going to be returning to the show. So it's actually now going to be Taylor and Amala Live, which is kind of weird.
Woohoo! It's my big break. Guys, I just want to thank everyone who has helped me get to this place today. You know, I never thought Will was that great anyways and thought I could do a better job. So
yeah,
this was just a long time coming. And you know, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be talking on Taylor and Amala Live.
Taylor's taking this really well. I mean, we're not going to get into why Will's not going to be returning on the show because it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's not probably something we shouldn't really talk about. But
may he rest in peace. Pieces.
Now I guess we can roast him whenever we want because he's not coming back. No, I think he saw a little bit too much of Florida, honestly, while on his book tour. And that might have influenced him a little bit. I went to Cal State Fullerton and all these girls were telling me about how influenced Will was by
Hey, sorry I'm late, guys.
Oh, hi.
Will!
How did you get in here? I thought we took away your key for the building.
No, I'm back. Taylor, if you want to head out, I think, and Amala, maybe you want to head out too.
I could have swore I changed the door code.
I think Will Live is back, baby. After a month on the road, guess who's back, baby? Will Witt here in the flesh, no mustache, ready to start just absolutely tearing this show up again.
Did you like that?
I did like that sound.
What did you do?
Hear it.
You don't have your thumb. I played the sad trombone sound while you were talking.
Well, even those sounds won't get me down because I am ecstatic to be back with everyone here today. I have been famished of these conversations.
Famished of these conversations.
Yes, I've been hungry for them. My stomach has been rumbling talk to you two again. I am very happy to be back. I hope you guys, viewers, are happy to have me back as well. I'm happy to be back and influence and talk to you guys. It's been a long time. It's been a whole month, basically. And now, your boy's back. Ready to take the show to the stratosphere. Okay? Ready to save this dying show
from the
shambles that it was in.
Oh, yeah. It was just dying while you were away, Will. I simply couldn't handle it.
No, I really think that I saw some of the episodes when I was gone. I think you guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you, Will. You guys did a really good job. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Even without me.
Yeah.
So it goes to show, one, that you guys can do the show without me.
Mm. Oh, was that ever in question or?
I questioned it. I wasn't sure. I was hoping some people here's something important. I think that some people in my position going away for that long would hope for your demise and say, wow, they really need me on the show. I hope that the show fails. Those are vengeful, evil people. Okay. When I left, I said, I want the show to still be just as successful as when I was there. And I think you guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed by all of you.
I'm also impressed.
Well,
are you?
Amala carried the team.
Amala's shocked. She's like, I didn't think it was going to be that good.
No, I definitely said that when Will leaves, the show is not going to be as funny. I will go on the record and say that that was the case.
I know. You just laugh now. Is that the first time you've laughed in a month?
Yeah.
It is. I can testify. She's never laughed one time in this last month.
I never, ever.
Well, neither of you guys are very funny. So I am. But you guys had a good serious 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
You're joking, right?
No, I'm not joking. I'm dead serious.
I like write half of your comedy sketch.
Yeah, but you
Taylor's
have...
Taylor's the funny
It's not
one.
About the writing. It's about the performance, Taylor.
No, okay? I'm not a performer or speaker like you guys. That's why I'm riding your coattails on the show, and I would not want to do it by myself or as one of the personalities. So we're very glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back on
it's
Taylor
not the,
and Will
It's
Live.
Really not the same with that. That is kind of what it used to be. I mean,
that is what I'm looking
at. It is
here.
What it used to
I know.
Be before I just sank my hooks into it.
No, you sank your hooks deep, Amala. You're like a big old falcon coming over and hooking me.
What?
It's been wonderful.
It's I'm got him sure right in the heart. Wonderful.
You hooked America by the heart.
I yeah, you did.
Really falcon
did.
That you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh wow.
So let's get into the first story. Okay,
yeah.
We got a lot to talk about today.
We All do.
Right, having me back. I mean, you know, now we actually can. We don't. We're not just using filler to fill the show. We actually have interesting things to talk about.
Wow, Will, it's really hard to hear you from that high horse that you're sitting on.
Sorry,
really,
I can't
really
hear
difficult.
You all the way up here. Sorry, let's get into the first story, okay? All right, first story we're going to talk about, which is one that that now that I'm back, we can talk about this because I'm incredibly passionate about it. Amla is not so passionate, but I know Taylor will
be
as
well. We specifically waited until you were back to cover this. It came out a couple days ago. But.
Well, I did a whole rant about it on my Instagram. So here's the
tweet. Amla's been looking forward to this all week, by the way.
She's texted me every day.
Look at this face.
Anticipating this.
Doesn't it look so excited?
It does.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're excited.
Always.
That's what I'm here for, to make you excited. Yeah. Okay. From Disclosed TV, new. Amazon's upcoming Lord of the Rings TV show will be multicultural. Black, Asian, brown, and even Maori-type hobbits. Diverse and feature strong female characters, according to media reports. What do you think about this, Amla? Before I go off.
Yeah, I'm gonna give my small little bit of two cents. I know nothing about Lord of the Rings, but... Obviously, this is not cool. People are just doing this for woke virtue signaling. It's just doing diversity for the sake of diversity. And I'm assuming you're going to inform me about why this is wrong for Lord of the Rings specifically, because I don't know anything.
Guys, this is the end of the world, okay? This is the worst thing ever. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to TV, because Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's universe and the things that he has created, in my opinion, are the greatest works of fiction ever created in Britain, okay? They are Great Britain's best works ever. Because what is the Lord of the Rings, okay? The Lord of the Rings is people overcoming evil through insurmountable odds, the worst struggles, horrible things happening to them. No one expects that they will succeed, and they overcome it. That is what the Lord of the Rings is, okay? So now they're saying they want to make it multicultural and feature strong female characters, okay? If you read the lore... There's already multicultures. You have multiculture with dwarves, men, Maiar, the Valar, elves, all these different people, okay, hobbits. It's already multicultural because all these cultures represent different types of people. And it already has strong female characters like Eowyn when she defeats the Witch King. And all sorts of other female characters in the Silmarillion too, like Luthien, who puts Melkor to sleep in the Great Hall so that Beren can steal Silmarils off his head. Okay, I'm going very nerdy,
right,
with you
Amala?
Guys, but I'm telling you guys,
right.
This is already
the Silmarils off his head.
But here's the important part. Okay, here's what really matters, because you can use this for any of these things that the left is doing, whether it's this, whether it's gay Superman, whatever it is. We already have these stories established in America and in the West, okay? Lord of the Rings, it's been around for a long time. It is already established. Superman, been around for decades. Dean Cain did it back in the day. It's been around for a long time, right? So why now do you have to take an already pre-existing story and then ruin it with this multicultural cast and make people gay and black? It's like, I obviously don't care if an elf is black. It means nothing to me if an elf is black. What matters is that you are sacrificing the story, the things that actually matter within the context of the characters, to make them into a woke diversity type of deal. That is why it is a horrible thing. Not because someone is black. Again, who cares if they're black? That doesn't matter. What matters is that you are ruining what it's actually all about.
So, Will, are you going to be watching this show? And Taylor,
I am
going to
watch it.
Are you going to watch it?
I am going to watch it because this is... Lord of the Rings is incredibly special to me. It's one of my great passions in life is Middle Earth and everything that Tolkien has done. Seriously, it has changed my life. I've told people that all the time, and they laugh at me sometimes as like a nerdy guy. But anyone who is as big of a fan of Lord of the Rings as me has read the books like I have, and also all of the other like Untold Tales, the Silmarillion, all the other books by Tolkien, I'm drawing a little bit of a blank right now, The Hobbit, all of those, will understand just how important these are and how life-changing these texts can be, really. And the fact that they're going to ruin it. These are legitimately the best fiction texts in the West. Seriously, I stand by that 100% with how influential they are and how much they mean to people and what the story actually represents, good versus evil. It's not some postmodern mess like Game of Thrones where, you know, the rulers suck and all everybody's parents are rude to them and there's no right and wrong. It's like there's clear answers in Middle Earth and the Lord of the Rings that makes it such a tale that will last throughout the ages. Go create your own fantasy world full of gay elves and black dwarves, okay? I don't care. Go do whatever you want.
You remind me of the Sonic Hedgehog kid.
When will you learn?
When will you learn? Your fantasies will never be quenched.
It's like, go make your own fantasy. Why do you have to ruin the one that I already like? You're ruining the one that I know and I like. Go make your own gay superhero. Don't ruin Superman. Don't do it just because you want your own vanity to be expunged and exacerbated. Don't ruin things that people already like for yourself, for your own wokeness and virtue signaling.
Taylor, are you going to be watching this TV show?
I honestly, I don't know. Like, I didn't watch the last Star Wars because I hated what they did with the Star Wars. I literally just won't watch the new ones anymore, the Disney ones, because I think they ruined it. And based, I would be very much a lot more open to it if it weren't for headlines like this about how they're going to put all this woke stuff in it.
Right.
The fact that they're even going in that direction just turns me off so much so that I wouldn't. Like, we watched the trailer for the new Home Alone movie that's coming out on Disney Plus this year.
Yeah.
And I love Home Alone. It's like one of my favorite movies ever, the Home Alone 1 and 2. I will probably watch this one because on its face there's not any like woke stuff in this Home Alone one. Now I could watch it and then I could see that there is and then I'll hate it and never watch it again, but I have an open mind. This is hard to have an open mind, and it's like it hurts all the deeper because of what it, like Will saying, like what it meant to me personally, but also what it really stands for as a work of high culture and high art and fiction that is transcendent. And I think that's, like, as you're saying, Will, like this, the original Lord of the Rings, there's only one, but it really is in a world where it appeals to very like deep truths and deep wisdom about humanity that's embedded in that story. And it appeals to like high values and paints a picture of, you know, just a world where it defines what heroism is, what courage is, what masculinity is, what you know, the battle of good versus evil. It's got a certain moral clarity, and it has a depth that is beyond just what some woke writer can come up with in Hollywood. And it shows. And like the fact that they have to like rewrite Superman, rewrite Lord of the Rings, and put modern culture in it just as a, to me, demonstrates how bad modern culture sucks. It's like, why does modern art suck? It's because it doesn't have the centuries and millennia of the, you know, learned wisdom through time that is embedded into it and distilled into these powerful stories or visuals or whatever it may be. If the world started in 1960 when postmodernists started having ideas about deconstructing things, then that's as deep as your art gets, and it's laced with this ideology and it's laced with this utopian vision that you're trying to insert into things, and it lacks that depth and that character and the richness and the beauty that stories like Lord of the Rings have, and you'll never get there.
Yeah.
And you can try to like paint your postmodern veneer over these transcendent works of art, but it's not going to feel right. And it didn't feel right in Star Wars. It didn't feel right. And it's not going to feel right in Lord of the Rings.
People are so concerned with making statements and upholding ideology that they're making things that are increasingly meaningless. And that's how our art is moving, our media is moving, all of our entertainment is going in that direction. And you can just tell watching old movies, reading old books, looking at old art, everything had so much more meaning than it does today. And it's an unfortunate sort of landscape that we're stepping into right now in our postmodern world.
All art is quite useless. It's from Dorian Gray. Great line. You should read the preface of Dorian Gray. It'll change your life about art. Two things. First, they're talking about hobbits. If you saw the first promotional image on that Amazon
hobbits.
Put out, four hobbits! If you look at the first promotional image they put out, it looked like in the image there were the trees of Valinor, which is really about like the first age. Which there weren't hobbits. I don't even know why they're about to have hobbits in this show. Okay, there shouldn't be hobbits if this is focused on the first and second age of Middle Earth. Okay, nerding out again, but seriously,
Noted. I
this is very true. I don't even know why they're messing around with having hobbits. Adds nothing to the show. Okay,
Amla's very upset about this, the inclusion of hobbits.
How dare they in the first and second, third generation include hobbits?
First and second age.
Sorry.
Okay?
When will they learn?
When will you learn?
Knucklehead.
We should find that video.
We should find
I
that
know,
video.
Seriously, that's how I feel.
It is what Will is experiencing right now.
But it's so personal. Imagine, I don't know what you like, Bratz dolls. Imagine if Bratz, imagine if Bratz dolls went woke, you know?
I'm offended right now. I'm more offended than I would be if they changed Bratz dolls.
What's the thing that you would be like most heartbroken over if it went woke that you love?
I would really have to think about that. I don't know. I would
really?
Be pretty upset if Home Alone
like
came
anything?
Out and it was like super... Nothing like immediately sparks my mind that, oh my gosh, if they ruin this.
See, that is sad.
I will always sad. Have
what if they
that
like
thing?
Remade The Notebook or Clueless? Or...
I've never seen The Notebook. Also, I've
are you even
seen
a girl?
Clueless a couple yeah. times.
What if they remade Legally Blonde?
I've only seen that a couple times too. I don't know.
You don't have anything like that?
Nothing immediately comes to mind that I'm like, if they remade this, like, obviously I've gone through the whole remakes and seen that, and I just know they're going to be trash, so it doesn't actually, like, irk me or physically upset me all that much.
But you have, like, no piece of art or media that you're, like, very attached to? That you really love?
That's most meaningful to you?
Yeah.
I have to think about it. I don't know.
That's wild.
Come back to me in, like, 30 minutes. Give me, like, a minute to think about it. I don't know.
You should just have it.
I should just have it?
Shakespeare?
No. I mean, I've read it, but no, it's not like, oh my gosh, if they rewrote this.
Who's like the most transcendently great musician that comes to mind?
All the musicians that I like are super woke. So it's like...
If Missy Elliott came out.
First of all, I don't know a single Missy Elliott song other than I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it, and I don't even know the name of that song. Secondly,
like
that's if I'm again offended by your deduction of what you think I would be interested in.
Hey, if Megan Thee Stallion.
Anyways, guys, the skit in the beginning was really not a skit. Will is not returning to the show. It is now over.
I'm having a lot of fun here.
I can tell you're having a lot of fun here. I don't know. I'll get back to you guys. I'll think of something that is so important to me that I would cry if they made it woke.
That is just really... That is actually upsetting to me.
Why is that upsetting to you?
Because everybody should have something like that that they love. Everyone should have like a great piece of art.
I have plenty of things that I love.
What if Tom Sawyer came out and was like, I was really a leftist this whole time?
I'd be like, damn, that's
like that is actually very surprising to me.
Is it?
But you don't have that.
Oh, I'm sure I have something. It's just when you ask somebody on the spot and I have to think of something.
If someone asked me on the spot, I would say...
You would say Lord of the Rings.
Immediately.
I would. Because you have a very...
Someone said definitely Nickelback.
Look at this.
Look at this photograph.
Look at this photograph.
There's not enough diversity represented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not, I don't have a Lord of the Rings. I definitely don't have a Lord of the Rings.
I thought you were a Dick.
You guys have like
we've said this before. Amala's seen like 3 movies in her entire life.
That is so, I've seen more movies than the two of you combined. I just don't have one that's like, if this movie gets remade, I'm going to cry.
Well, if we're talking about watch hours and Lord of the Rings counts, then I've seen more than
that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, you guys like sit here and quote Lord of the Rings all day long back and forth. I don't have that thing. I definitely don't have that thing.
That's all right. Listen, you're young.
No, it's all right. I don't feel sad about it. It's definitely all right.
You should feel kind of sad about it. I feel sad for you.
Why do you feel sad for me?
Because art and those kinds of things are beautiful
I'm
and amazing.
Sure I
and,
can think of
and
something.
They're the things that inspire you to be passionate about
I appreciate
life.
Art and music.
Art and beauty.
I'm gonna quote the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
The Federalist Papers.
A true patriot.
If somebody ever rewrote the Federalist Papers.
Nerd.
No. Yeah, I'll think of something, guys. I'll get back to you on
Dennis
Monday, maybe.
Dennis Prager's Rational Bible. Yeah.
God forbid they change... Deuteronomy.
Oh, goodness. No, I'll think of something. I promise you guys. Now, let's get into a video here. A lot of you struggle to understand leftist language, as we all do. It's an ever-evolving thing that they have going on there with their terms and the terminology and Latinx and a woman and Latinx. Equity and inclusion. It's definitely Latinx, not Latinx.
Latinx.
But Latinx is much funner to say.
It is much funner to say than Latinx.
Funner's not a word, actually, but more fun.
It's more fun. Anyways, but Peter Boghossian, you know, our famed professor from Portland who left his school because he was being harassed by the woke left, has come out with a little guidebook. We're going to show you a little clip. This one is about the word equity and what that means exactly, because I'm sure you're hearing it all over the place now with the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that everybody's talking about and CRT and all that garbage. So let's hear what he has to say.
Equity. Equity means making up for past discrimination with current discrimination. In an equitable system, certain individuals and groups must be discriminated against in order to make up for discrimination that other individuals and groups suffered in the past. Equity and equality do not mean the same thing. In fact, they're opposites. If a system is equitable, that means, by definition, people are not treated equally. For example, if a company adopted an equitable employment system, that would mean they hire more women than men because women have faced significant past discrimination. So in an equitable system, the best candidate is not judged solely on the basis of merit or ability, but is judged on the basis of some characteristic like sex or sexual orientation or race. In an employment system that has equality as a core value, any characteristic other than merit does not factor into the hiring process. In other words, if someone is gay or Native American, that would not play a role in whether or not they were hired. Equality means not being judged on immutable physical characteristics.
Boom. Mic drop there. the difference between equity and equality. And a lot of people use those words as if they're interchangeable, and clearly they're not interchangeable. Equity is a is an evil word. Equality is a good word. Oh, there's silence on
I was banning like a spammer.
You're banning a spammer?
No, but it's true. You're banning a spammer. What were they spamming?
I don't know. They're just saying hateful things. And look, we tolerate people who disagree if you want to give a different perspective on equity, for example. But if you're going to be abusive or just spam, then sorry, bye-bye.
Yeah, but what I think is important is that we break down these terms when we're talking about politics, because when we do that, we need to establish a common ground definition of what these things mean. And it helps you in arguments. If you're just arguing about two things and you haven't decided on what the definition of that thing is, your argument is going to go nowhere. So him putting out this series and defining what the difference is between equity and equality, words that are often used interchangeably when they should not be used interchangeably, is super important. And again, equity is cutting people off at the knees and saying they're equal. That's exactly what equity is. Well, equality is saying, I'm going to take all the people sitting in this room. We got Will, we have me, we have Taylor. I'm going to judge all of you based on your merit and characteristics rather than judging you on any other qualifications or any other parts of your looks or your gender or your sexuality. That's what true equality is. We should be advocating for equality, not for equity. Yet everybody and their mother is calling out for equity today in America.
If we got judged just on our looks, Hot Scott would be... He'd be the one
sitting right here.
He'd be running the place.
He would be running the place.
Be Hot Scott Live.
Yeah, yes, it seriously. Would. It's a good point. It's a really good point to think about. And what you said, I think, is really important for people to know, that you need to define the definitions when you are talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is number one. And if you can't define the definitions clearly, you really have no place in even having a discussion about these things. Because nothing gets accomplished when no one can actually find out what it is. It's like if you're talking to people about socialism and you try and define socialism with them, and before you're even talking on whether it's good or not, neither of you can define it, you're not going to be having a very successful interaction with this person. So having definitions is incredibly important. And one thing also to note about that you have to be less vain when you're going and talking to people about these things too, and realize that the person who you're talking to might be able to change your mind as well. I think that's something that is lost on a lot of people. Like you think that you're just like ask Taylor and Amla, they'll clearly tell you this, that my political ideas and values have not really values, but my ideas have changed, you know, dramatically in like the last year, especially since the pandemic started, looking at people and researching and reading things and having a lot of changes. And also from just going and talking to people with different perspectives. Like I was having conversations with on Twitter last week with some very prominent leftists, talking to them. And I was like, because I put out a tweet about income inequality. You know, about income inequality and how Republicans in Congress care nothing about income inequality. As the poor gets larger and the middle class shrinks, no one in Congress does anything about it, right? Democrats obviously don't care either, but I was talking about Republicans because they obviously don't care too. And I talked to a lot of leftists about this. And we're like, why can't we learn together? Like there's people in this country who seem to be pitting us against each other, where we can't have these conversations and talk to each other and all of that. And it's like, I was talking to some of the biggest YouTube leftists out there, and we were getting along and agreeing on so many other things, right? And it's because we, first of all, talked about the definitions and what we believed in, and then we're not afraid to say, hey, I might learn something from this person, right? I'm not talking to the leftist personalities who are sellouts or who are liars about the things that they believe in and are hypocrites. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to the ones who are honest leftists who might have some different intentions than I do, and we can come together and find common ground. So have an open mind when you're going and talking to people, and you might learn something too.
Very true. Yeah, no, you can avoid so many bad conversations and arguments if you just decide to define terms before you get into the actual argument or debate itself. I think I told this story on the podcast before or on Instagram or something, but there's a bar that my roommate and I frequent, and we go to it. It's this really nice place out in LA, and constantly we get people that walk up to us and end up asking what we do and all this stuff. And I get into working at PragerU and how I do commentary on different political things that are going on in the world. And I got into an argument with this guy about abortion, and immediately he starts coming at me. How could you be pro-life? This and that. The foster care system. Putting out all these different arguments in regard to the abortion, the whole abortion umbrella. And immediately I just stop and say, well, wait, let's define what you think life is. And then I'll define what I think life is. And we go through that first. And he again tried to start spewing out arguments. No, let's define your definition of life. I'll give you my definition of life. If we don't agree, let's see if either of us are swayable on that definition. And then if we can't concur on that, there's the end of the conversation. That's all you have to do. And it's a very easy thing to do, but you just have to maintain your temperament and not get angry, which is probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really easy to talk past each other when you have a disagreement with someone. And
right. The
most useful thing to do is to, yeah, really dig into, no, wait, what is the actual thing that we disagree on? So find out, okay, well, do we agree on this? Do we agree on this? Is mm-hmm. it life up to this point or whatever? And then like start with like the, okay, where is the actual, let's pinpoint that thing. And right. then how are you defining this? What do you mean when you say this? How, and then here's what I mean when I say this.
Right.
And that is how you have a fruitful discussion with someone and a fruitful conversation. And if someone else, even like Will saying, if they're on the other side of the aisle, but they are willing to have a good faith discussion with you, then don't be the one who closes off the world to that possibility, mm-hmm. because that is what is going to lead the world toward less polarization and more sanity. Is if people who are willing to have conversations in good faith do so, because there are plenty of people out there who are so ideologically possessed that are not interested in having actual conversations, and they're right. just interested in dunking on you. And that's really a lot what you see a lot on Twitter, is just one side dunking on the other, and there's not really any fruitful discussions being had. But yeah, the world could certainly use more of it. So great job, Will and Amala.
Amala, that sounds like my hell.
What?
Going to a bar and trying to enjoy drinks and start debating someone
no.
on abortion.
I love it.
No, that is like the
worst thing in the
world. I love
it. And I don't seek it out. I mean, people walk up to me and then they ask me what I do, and then I can already anticipate what they're going to, I try to avoid it a little bit. I go, I work in politics. That's all I say. I work in politics. I don't define it. And then they go, what do you mean by that?
Just say I'm an influencer. That's a common thing in LA.
Yeah, no, but I don't want to.
No,
I don't
can you
say
give
that.
Me a discount on tea?
No. Yeah, then they're like, oh, so you take your clothes off and take pictures for Instagram. And I'm like, I don't want people to associate me with said things. So I say I work in politics. And then they ask what type of politics. And then they're the ones who invite the conversation. I'm not going out, you know, seeking people and targeting them to red pill them. But I love having those conversations because, I mean, nobody truly ever like catches me. Like I never had like a true gotcha moment, but I love hearing the different perspectives that people have on different issues. And you can meet people who fall on the same side of the aisle but have a totally different reason for being there, mm-hmm. and that's cool because it sharpens your skills in talking to people and breaking down these arguments, which is what we do on the show every day.
Amala goes to the Four Seasons bar on a Tuesday evening with a change my mind sign ready to just debate people.
Don't do it. I'm like the snake in the grass. You never see me coming and they don't expect it from me. So they walk up and then I just go, you know.
Snakes are devious.
Well,
are you devious?
I'm not saying
Amala?
That I'm devious. I'm
I
just
think
saying,
you are a little devious.
I'm saying that people don't expect it. That's what I'm saying.
No, they don't. I wouldn't expect it from you.
Yeah, no, that pro-choice guy was like, you're a conservative? He goes, you look like a leftist. I was like,
you're like, well, you look like a beta male. So why don't you leave me and my friends alone? Okay?
No, he was nice, but he said I look like a leftist. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I do kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you don't look like what someone would assume a Republican or conservative
right,
to look
right,
like.
Right, exactly. So the conversation was fruitful, and maybe he changed his mind.
I hope so.
Yeah.
At least had some education with him.
Exactly. At least had a little think about what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. I do like yeah. When you're talking about that, though, it makes me think of like, you know, I was raised in church and there's a big emphasis in the church circles that I was in when I was younger about like going out and preaching the gospel and like mm-hmm. converting people or trying to be a witness and of course, all of that is like biblical and part of what it is to be a Christian. If you believe something's true, you want to persuade other people of it. Yep. But something I found over the years that is actually, especially like moving to LA, is if you just being yourself and standing firm in your convictions while doing life and going out there in the real world, because I see a lot of times Christians and probably conservatives do this too, is like we huddle in our little bubbles and we talk to only the people that we agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And then anytime we jump outside of it, it's like you got to have this action plan and I'm going to, you know, use these tactics and here's my arguments that I'm going to make and stuff. And it's like, no, if you just live life and as a normal person and go out in the world and be yourself and refuse to lie and refuse to compromise on your convictions, but also like be willing to just engage people in good faith as yourself and not have this like agenda to hack their brain or, you know, try to convert them and by talking to them, but just be a good representation of what a conservative is or what a Christian is and not back down and back up your beliefs
right.
and talk about it and share it, but like connect on a human level and don't have this like second agenda when you interact with people. I think that's a much more effective way to approach life and to change minds and to not give conservatives or Christians this a bad name by always the only time you ever talk to the other side is when mm-hmm. you're trying to beat them over the head with your views.
Yeah, and it shocks people too because they're talking to you this whole time and you haven't breached the subject of politics yet and they're just thinking, oh, I'm just talking to this really nice leftist girl, whatever. And then it gets into politics and they're like, oh, well, first of all, I made an assumption about you and about how you felt on certain things. So that automatically is a point in your direction. And then you start talking about things that they didn't expect you to even know about or even have an opinion about. So it's really great to influence people that way because they see you first as a friend or somebody that they've just met who is super kind. And then you start talking about the actual real issues and it changes their minds. Like I told you guys, I got that text from that guy who ended up following me on Instagram afterwards and looked at my Dave Chappelle video and he texted me and said, I can't believe that I agree with the things that you have to say in that video. I can't believe I agree with the conservative with the little crying face. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious to me. Yeah. So it's like you met this person, you made an assumption about them, and then you listen to their ideas and you realize that you agree with conservatives and you had painted a caricature of what they were supposed to be.
So, right, yeah. Will?
So, oh, that's well, right.
Somebody who knows a lot about talking to people on the, like out on the streets and right, changing right. minds should write a book on this stuff.
Somebody
you
should.
You know, he should. I don't know who that person would be. Maybe it's Dennis Prager, but I think that, you know, if that person comes along, they'd be really great.
Right, I agree.
Guys, I just got back from my book tour.
Yes,
it was awesome.
Completely unrelated note.
Completely unrelated. I thought that moving into this, since it was truly remarkable to meet so many of you guys. Really, I met so many of you guys who came up to me at the events and you said, I watch you guys. Some of you guys said, I watch Will and Amala. And I was like, yeah, you're getting there. I was like, thank you so much. Some people are like, I watch a show every day. Uh-huh. So many people are coming saying, bring back the stash. People are coming and saying, oh, your joke about this. Like they came up and they like, you guys actually watch the show. And you come up and you're talking to me about how much you love it and even talking about Taylor and Scott and giving me gifts. And I mean, it was truly incredible. I wanted to take this time to go over with all you guys. I have a lot of stories from my trip on the road. I thought it'd be fun to relive it with you guys these last 3 weeks that I've been on the road. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And also, this is my show. I can do whatever I want. So
I'm excited to go on this journey because we don't know what the heck you've been up to for the last 3 weeks.
No, you do not. But I'm about to explain it
yeah,
all.
I have no idea.
How many times did you get arrested?
Only 4 times.
Okay.
But, you know, 3 times I deserved it.
So like an average week.
Yeah, no, like an average week, you know? Okay, let's start. Here, you can pull this up on here.
Yep.
First, I went to Dallas. And I was here with Glenn Beck. I went on Glenn Beck's show for my media tour with my book. Glenn Beck is the man. All that stuff that you guys know I talk about with like BlackRock and massive corporations and income inequality, things that some people will say, oh, you're a leftist for saying, but it's really true. Glenn Beck was on it. I mean, we were just vibing, talking about all this stuff on the show. It was incredible. You guys can find that on Blaze TV if you want to do it.
We showed you guys a clip on the show after Will did Glenn Beck. By the
oh,
way,
did you?
Will. Uh-huh. We were following you on your journey.
Wow.
Yeah, we showed a clip. So.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
He didn't even know.
I know.
I didn't even know. How am I supposed to know?
He doesn't know that we support him.
Well, I was very busy. Okay. And so I did that in Dallas. And then Amala and I had a wonderful night together at a PragerU event in Dallas that night, which was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was a great event. I spoke. Will didn't once.
Well, I wasn't supposed to be there.
No,
I came at the
wasn't.
Last minute because they needed me. Right? So I show up at the last minute. And Amala fainted as soon as I showed up.
Yep.
It was quite remarkable.
Just
to
in
see.
Shock.
Yeah. No. It was. Yeah. It was wonderful. Yes. It was quite.
That happens
night.
Every. That happened at the beginning of this show when you surprised us by coming.
Right.
In, actually.
Just uh-huh. fainted.
No. But I'll catch you. I promise. Okay. This God. Is for the next Muckraker Cam.
Oh, Muckraker Cat, are you listening?
I got gotcha.
Will will catch me.
I
Look
gotcha.
At that.
Swoon. All right. Then I went to New York City. Which, let me pull up real quick. I have this whole folder full of pictures and stuff. New York City, I stayed in the Upper West Side, and everywhere I went in New York City, okay? My hotel, it was a very nice hotel. It was in the Upper West Side, and it had a bar restaurant on the top floor, okay? And it's outdoors. It's an outdoor bar restaurant, okay? There's no ceilings on this place. But because there is a doorway that you have to walk under, they want you to show your vaccination card. I'm at my own hotel, and they wouldn't let me into the bar at my own hotel because I was not vaccinated or because I didn't have my card, right?
That's
it's like
amazing.
Ridiculous, you know? And it's outside. So I was very disappointed in New York. We have the vax mandates coming to Los Angeles. They've come to Seattle, San Francisco. I think that these big major cities, these urban areas are dead. I think that we have to abandon them and move to places where good values are actually being taught. Okay, but I still love New York. I mean, here's me in Central Park. I mean, it's a beautiful place. I absolutely love the city. Got good food on DoorDash because I couldn't go anywhere. I did a lot of media hits while I was there over the weekend, and then I had an event at St. John's University, which, if you guys know, is over on the island, which was wonderful. Okay, then I went to University of Maryland. Now this is the one. Eric can play this video.
Instead of just saying, "Hey, here's what I believe,"
those were all the loser protesters who I went and tried to talk to. And I said, "Hey, why don't we have a conversation? Come to the event." I literally saved seats at the event for the leftists, okay? I said, "Come to the event and ask me questions. If you really think that I'm this racist and a liar," here, you can show this photo right here of what someone's photo or notebook paper sign said of me. I said, "Hey, come to the event." Not one of them showed up. Not one of them came and asked me a question. That's the herd mentality. But it was fantastic. I got to sign a shoe. I signed a lot of shoes on this tour.
I know, which was a lot of Converse.
Excuse me.
Sorry. I thought you were like performing something there.
I'm not performing anything.
By the shoes?
Wow. Yeah, no, but it was a wonderful time in D.C. D.C. is just L.A. for ugly people. So, I mean, it's full of...
Well...
That is what D.C. is. D.C. is a horrible place to be. I hate D.C. I love the buildings and architecture. Don't get me wrong, okay? But the people in D.C., I think they're even worse than L.A. I hate D.C., okay? Anyone who knows good values will hate D.C.
My brother's in D.C.
Your brother's a good guy.
Yes.
But he's surrounded by evil.
Yeah. Scott was in D.C. for
right.
a few years.
And that's, and here. Scott would agree. Yeah. Scott would agree. He was surrounded by evil.
So how is D.C. for ugly people if Scott was there?
Well, Scott's an anomaly, okay?
Scott's here now, so.
Listen, even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
Oh,
right?
I hate that phrase. All right.
Then I went to West Virginia, which has been devastated by the opiate epidemic, and it was wild.
This is a great photo.
This is the best I could get.
West Virginia.
That's the sign right there. I was like,
I was driving in my rental car, and I slowed down to take this photo. Don't tell the cops, okay? I took a photo while I drove. Anyway, there wasn't anyone on the road, but it's beautiful. The Appalachian Mountains, I mean, it was truly remarkable driving through there. I drove from D.C. to West Virginia to go and see it, and it was really remarkable. And one thing about when I was in New York, I got rear-ended in New York in my rental car. Some guy came up to me. And we're sitting at this red light. There's no one there. The light is red. And this guy just comes up to me and just hits me. He stopped behind me. And then he comes and just hits me with his big truck. I pull over. He pulls over, gets out of the truck. The dude is Irish. Every single time I've been in an accident, I've been hit by someone who's foreign. This guy, he's Irish. He's like, "Hey, sorry, laddie. Didn't mean to hit you there." And then exchange insurance information. And then I go on my way. Luckily, there was no damages. That could have been a lot worse, but... Yeah, anyway, that's what happened to me in New York. Anyway, I'm in West Virginia. This is
Washington, D.C. just put a super chat and said, "I hate you too, Will." Actual Washington.
Good. Listen, we hate each other, okay? It's a hate-hate relationship. Those always make the most passionate affairs, I will say. Okay, here's a picture that I took in West Virginia with some boys. It was a prom photo. Here, Emily, you can see.
Wow.
Yeah, no. The things I do for you people, okay? Seriously.
Yeah.
If you pay me enough... I'm not going to finish that.
Don't finish that sentence. That's
but I think Amal and I are both pretty jealous that we weren't in this photo.
I know. Yeah. I know. I would have liked to have had you guys there. And met some super fans. Some of these girls, they were fantastic, really nice. During my speeches, if you guys come to one of my speeches, then you'll know that I talk about it when I go and I speak. There are certain people in the crowd. I don't know if you do this, Amal, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's certain people in the crowd that are like your point people that when you... are looking around in different spots in the room as you speak, those are like the people you focus on at each point, right? And so these two girls were sitting there and they were just giddy, having a grand old time at my event. And they were like one of my point people. You understand?
I understand.
I was very happy to have them there.
I'm always your point person on the show every day.
I would say it's probably more my own camera looking at myself.
Wow.
I am my own person.
Wow.
Okay, so then I went to Orlando. I only have one picture here. This wasn't the craziest event, but you know, it was fun in Orlando. I really like Florida. Florida is an amazing place. And then I went to Tampa, and this truly was, oh my goodness, this was remarkable. This guy who I'm with right here, his name is Jake, and he's a guy who I actually had never really met before. But he did a lot for me. I mean, truly, he did so much for me. This guy is truly one of the greatest guys I've ever met. I'm just blown away. He put on this whole event for me and did all this. This one wasn't at a university with a Turning Point chapter, which also I need to thank Turning Point USA for putting this on and helping me out with all these events. But this guy, just truly remarkable. And I got these badges that were from, I'll have to bring them in. I can explain to you guys a story. And then this flag from a plane as well, from a military plane. It was truly incredible. And then I spoke, and this guy, he's an ex-Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He's a great guy. His name is escaping me right now, but super cool guy. And he spoke a little bit and introduced me. Here's me speaking in Tampa. Look at this shot. Tell me that's not like the coolest photo
ever.
Very
cool.
That is so sick.
A little palm tree in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoyed myself in Tampa. Look at this family. These are the people who brought me the presents for Scott, Taylor, and Amala. Mm-hmm. This whole family. I posted this on my Instagram, and everyone's like, is that like your family? I'm like, no, this isn't like my family. These are
I wish.
I know. Well, the tall guy, he kind of looked like Taylor, if Taylor grew a beard.
Okay.
You know, a little bit. But they had like Will Whip.
He's a good looking man.
They had the Will Whip pillow. They all had books. And then she actually had, I'll show you that. She had Will Whip earrings. Will Whip earrings.
I know, exactly. I used to make
How
earrings
crazy.
Like that. That's awesome.
That was amazing. And then these people.
You used to make Will Whip earrings, Amala?
No.
Before you joined PragerU?
No. Amala makes Will Whip gum figurines and puts them in her closet and prays voodoo to them.
Yeah.
Okay, these two girls showed up. Okay, it's really funny. These two girls showed up at the event, right? With mm-hmm. the Will Whip as a racist liar. They're making fun of the event that just happened 2 days ago at UMD.
That's amazing.
And I have security at this event in Tampa. And the security comes up to these girls and is like, we are about to call the cops on you right now. Like, you need to leave right now. We're not doing any of this funny business horseplay.
And they're like, it's a joke.
and they're like, it's not a joke. You're coming here with these signs and everything. Like, no, it's look, this is just at his event. The girl,
That's
when
so
the girl
funny.
Starts crying, it's like,
it oh, was, she started crying.
I think
oh,
so.
Poor girl.
And they were like, they thought they were gonna have to leave.
Oh
and
no.
And we figured it out that it was a joke. It was really sweet that they came with these signs. It was fantastic.
That's adorable.
I took a picture with this pirate. Which was
this
pretty
is very
cool.
interesting.
Yes. It is interesting. Look at this. Look how beautiful it is. I hop the fence. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to do anything. I can just take pictures with pirates wherever I want.
Mm-hmm.
Why
is the rum gone?
This guy, we went and smoked cigars afterwards. Downstairs at this place I was staying, there were cigars everywhere and had some whiskey. I mean, it was an amazing time. And this guy, his name's Ryan Larson. He's the man. He's the one who took me shooting to do all this other stuff. Went and shot clay pigeons. There you go.
All right.
Try to get close.
Did you hear that? Well, nice. Yeah, baby. That was tons of fun. I'd never done that before. I still have a bruise. Even after 2 weeks, I still have a bruise from doing that. We went shooting. It was sick. I love Florida, man. Florida is just awesome. And then there are some videos, but I don't need to show you guys the videos right now from the event. I can show those later. Okay, so
you had
that
a
was,
good time, Will.
I had a great time in Florida. Okay, here's Fort Myers. Here's me going to my event here. That's about it from there. it was really cool.
It's Fort very Myers. Important that I show this video of people clapping for me.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just have to show you guys. Okay, so Ole Miss was funny. Okay, I spoke at Ole Miss the day after I spoke at Fort Myers, and I thought that because, you know, it's so country and everything over near Ole Miss, I was like, okay, I'm going to go rent a big truck. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to go rent a truck. So I rented a truck to go. I had to go to the Memphis airport and then drive to Mississippi. And I get this huge truck, and the only truck that they have is an F-350, which if you guys know what that is, it is a monster truck, essentially. It is like the biggest truck ever. It's taller than... I mean, it's huge, right? It's a massive truck. And so I take this thing. I've never driven one of these before. I have to drive it all the way to Mississippi from Memphis, Tennessee. It takes like an hour and a half. And I get there, and the parking for my hotel is like, it's like shooting. It's so small, okay? It's a very tight spot. And so I finally get in there, and the people who are doing the event that night are like, hey, Will, are you going to drive to the event? I'm like, can you guys come pick me up? My truck is too big. I can't even get it out of the parking lot. So please come and pick me up. Anyway, Ole Miss was fun. This was they're the Sharks, and they uh, They were doing a shark thing. And
who's the sharks? Hilarious. I thought they're the Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah, but they also did they have sharks or something. Yeah, yeah. It's like also sharks. I don't know. Something. But
I wonder if they changed it because Rebels is like not
offensive.
PC.
Yeah. But the thing about Mississippi that was really interesting is that I figured I was going to go to Ole Miss and everyone was going to be like, yeah, brother, we're super conservative down here. And then every single person that I talked to at the university was like, yeah, we don't have one conservative professor here. Like trying to find a staff recommendation or a staff sponsor for our club was almost impossible. They couldn't find one. They put out a letter to every single faculty member and got two responses, right? This is supposed to be Ole Miss. It's the Deep South. It's supposed to be super conservative. And even Ole Miss is becoming so far left. Right. Everywhere is becoming so far left.
But that's why the retreat to the conservative safe spaces strategy, I think, is not going to work.
A little faulty.
I know. Anyway, then I went to Kansas City. Kansas City was a massive event. It was huge. Here's just a picture of the crowd. It was a lot of fun. Kansas City, this school, University of Missouri, Kansas City, is the same school where people with Michael Knowles came and I think shot like urine or something at him out of a squirt gun. So luckily no one
shot. I remember that story.
Yeah,
I remember that story.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Luckily no one shot urine at me at the event.
as far as you know.
Yeah, at the event.
I hated that, but it was
a great event. We also, I had someone come up to me, and one of the guys in the audience who came up and asked questions was a big leftist, and he starts trying to question me on Nietzsche, like acting like I don't know my Nietzsche, asking me about, like, you know, Nietzsche was
I hate
against,
when people act like I don't know my Nietzsche.
I know my Nietzsche, okay? He's like, you know Nietzsche was against Christianity, right? I was like, yeah, I know that. I know, I can still be a fan of Nietzsche. Do I have to agree with every single thing that one person says to be a fan of them? No, of course not.
Yeah.
You small-minded
person. That happened to me too when I came to the defense of Dave Chappelle. This girl came at me on Twitter and was like, you do know that Dave Chappelle doesn't like Candace Owens. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like,
what does that have to do with me?
Right. It's like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We have different opinions. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, then I spoke in Denver. Here's a cute dog with my Wilwitt socks on and a book. I really enjoyed this one. This was fantastic.
This is a good one.
Yeah. And here is a video of the lion going into my Denver event.
Oh my gosh. He's
going. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Will.
And so that was really great. That was really great. Denver was great because you guys know I'm from Colorado. So it was a huge event to do in Denver. There was a room. They had a room for, I think it was 75 people. And we packed it out with 160 people. You know, we had people standing and everything like that. It was, you know, I mean, that's how many they were allowed to fit in. So we fit in as many as we could into this small venue there. It was incredible. And my whole family came, my grandparents, my sister and her boyfriend, my mom, my stepdad. I mean, everyone was there and they were right in the front row. And there was also a lot of people there who I've known for a long time. It was, that was one of my favorite events. And that was over at Colorado Christian University, which is a school I dropped out of. So it was a little funny, but it was still okay to be there. Okay, then I went to Utah, which I shot this 50 cal. We could watch this video.
Okay. Every single time.
That was a lot of fun. It's
that
not, the blowback isn't nearly as bad as you think. Like the kick, of course the kick is bad. If you were standing up, it would knock you back. Mm-hmm. But I mean, really, it's the sound. Oh my goodness, that thing is loud. I have my headphones on, and then I also had the earbuds in my ears too, mm-hmm. like super tight in there because of how loud this thing was. It was like something blew up and died. I mean, it was crazy. If that thing went past your head, like even if it didn't hit you, let's say that bullet from the 50 cal, it goes past your head, you will still die. Because the air pressure around it is so crazy. I mean, that gun brings down buildings. To be able to shoot that was insane. It was super cool. Then I did my event in Utah, and this girl brought her How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale mm-hmm. Carnegie, and then had me sign it and write the first book you need to learn to lead you to success.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was very funny when I was doing my book signing and everything, and that was really cool. The thing I like about Utah is that everyone has strange names. Very hard to spell names. I had to ask every single person how to spell their name, you know, and there's a lot of white people and they have, you know, those very white sounding names. And I had to ask them all.
Like what?
I forget what they are. This like Caden and
like ones that could be spelled in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, like very, you know, Utah names. Like the people of Utah, if you live in Utah and you're watching the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't live in Utah, you might not understand, but they all know. This girl Emma, she is my favorite Utahonian. She is great. She put on my event at Utahonian, right?
Utahonian.
She put on my event at Dixie State this spring and has done a ton for me. She's just a wonderful person. So I like to come on here and highlight the people who are amazing in my life. And going to meet all these people is just incredible. I get to meet so many incredible people all of the time. Okay, where did I go to after Utah? After Utah, I went to Albuquerque. I only really have one picture here. Albuquerque is kind of not the best place in America.
Shots fired.
Yeah, sorry. No, people in Albuquerque all know it. I mean, Albuquerque is like, I was talking to this girl, the girl who put on the event, her name was Erica. She was really nice and wonderful. And she said that Albuquerque feels like a godless place to her. You know, when she's lived there her whole life and she felt said it feels like a godless place.
Is that where Breaking
place.
Bad was?
Yeah, I think so. Or somewhere in New Mexico. The event was great. The event was really cool, except there was a guy at the event who was a journalist. We use journalist loosely. He was a journalist and he came to the event and he started screaming on Twitter about how stupid I was and all these things that I said and saying how dumb I was. And it's like, dude, there was a Q&A at the event. You could have came and you could have asked me a question and told me how I'm wrong. But instead of doing that, you just went on Twitter and bitched about it. Like, why not actually go and ask me a question when you were at the event? Because you're a child. You are a child.
It's not cool.
No. Anyway, but also Albuquerque is like one of the abortion capitals of America as well. I mean, it really is. It feels like a godless place when you go there. It is not very cool.
Sorry to the Albuquerqueans.
Yes. Sorry, Albuquerqueans. But I love the conservative Albuquerqueans. Okay. Then I went to Phoenix and this was probably my favorite event of the tour. It was truly incredible. Look at this girl. She had a custom made jacket that said, "What's up, guys," from my videos.
That's very
How cool
cute.
Is that? It's amazing. Her name was
Adorable.
Faith, I believe. It's so cool. Here was my rental car. Just thought I'd flex.
Just thought you'd. Oh, yeah.
It's just like your I got car
two,
here.
Exactly. I got a little 2-seater Mercedes.
Oh,
I was supposed
goodness.
To get like a normal car, and then they were like, "You want this?" I was like, "I mean, okay, I'll take it." It was a lot of fun.
It's like
driving
a Cruella DeVille car.
Yeah, exactly.
Golden Girls.
Yes. Here's with Morgan Zegers. I did TPUSA Live that day before with John Root, Alex Clark, and Morgan, and that was a lot of fun. Shine signed some more shoes. All right, now let's watch this video because this is just awesome. Okay. This was awesome. And that was just so cool. I mean, it was awesome.
Crowd.
All these places that I do, we had really good turnouts at all of them. This GCU one, just they were like, "Hey, we'll film you walking out." I was like, "Okay, cool," and we did it, and it came out amazing. So just so you
and
guys
you
can understand,
then you got nervous and threw up and had to leave.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I went to the bathroom immediately after this. But it was truly incredible. I mean, to have that, you know, I spoke at the beginning of that event. When I, about three years ago, I did an event at ASU. This is when I first started for PragerU. I did an event at Arizona State University. That's also in Phoenix near GCU. And I think 12 people showed up. And three of the people were staff from PragerU. And one of them, I think, was staff at Turning Point. So really, eight people showed up, okay? This was one of my first events ever. And I was terrible. Okay, speaking and everything, I was terrible. And to think that in a matter of 3 years, I went from 12 people in a tiny closet in Phoenix to 700 people packing a room. I mean, it truly means the world to me. It is incredible. So I'm not just doing this to show you guys like I'm sick. Look at all these people who come to see Will Witt. I'm like, this is amazing. It's truly so cool to have all you guys be supporters of me and come out to this kind of stuff. It really means the world. And so Sacramento, here's a picture of me that I felt like I looked like a youth pastor, so I wanted to include it here.
You definitely do.
Here's a guy, Julius. It's funny, in Sacramento, I said this in my speech, I was staying at a casino, but then I went and spoke at a church, so it's kind of funny. And I bet some money, I bet on roulette, and I put it all on red and I lost everything. So, and the thing about roulette that people don't understand, Taylor understands, is that
I have lost a lot of money on roulette with you. Understand.
But it's all random, okay? You think that because it got black 29 two times before, that it just can't be black 29 again. It can.
I don't understand.
It's all random. It doesn't matter. It's just, it's all random. All these guys at the table, they're putting all these ludicrous, meticulous bets on the table like, yeah, man, it's not going to go this one again. It has to go red because it just did two black back to back. I'm like, dude, it's just random. Okay? It's just random. Don't be fooled by the numbers that they have on the screen. Just put something, just put it all on red every time.
Put it all on red. That's the Will Witt bet. Put it all on red.
That's all I do.
All on red.
That's all I do. Okay,
but this
doesn't sound like very sound advice at all.
You have a 48% chance of winning.
Yeah.
That's all you need
to know.
It's
basically like, a little under 50-50.
Yeah. Here are some books I was signed. You had a whole book signing, which is super cool. Here's video of this crowd as well here in Sacramento. It's super cool. Just did a lot of really, really large, cool events. I mean, it's just been insane. And so now we're getting to the last event of the tour. I'm sure you guys are bored of all of hearing this, but I don't really care. Look, the viewership's great. We still got a lot of people in here listening to this,
right?
Yeah,
1,000 people are going through your retelling, on this journey
I would like to know, you guys, are you enjoying my retelling? I think this has been rather fun for me.
They're just waiting to see my wedding pictures next. We've got 1,300 to go through.
Exactly.
Will's doing the worm in one of them, so.
I am. That is one to definitely show. Okay, so this... I did Fullerton, which is in Orange County, and we did that last night, and that was a lot of fun. Really, really, that was my last event. I think probably 200 people, something like that came. So it was really good. They had to change the location at the last minute because we weren't going to do a masked event. I wanted everyone to be unmasked, so they had to change the location, but still great. So this guy in this picture that you're seeing right here, I urge all of you guys, this blew my mind when I saw this, okay? Truly blew my mind. If you guys go back 3 years ago, I did one of my first videos. That video was, who was the vice president? I went to Hollywood Boulevard and I went and I asked people a simple question. This is when Mike Pence was the vice president. And I said, who is the vice president? And people couldn't tell you who the vice president was, right? It was Mike Pence during the Trump years.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, who I interviewed, he couldn't name who the vice president was in that video. You go back and you look, he couldn't name who the vice president was in that video. And then he said he saw that video after we posted it and started watching PragerU videos and became a fan and now is super conservative and knows about all this kind of stuff.
That's
how
awesome.
Cool is that? Right? People think the people on the left, when they see my videos sometimes, they'll be like, oh, you're just going out and embarrassing people. It's like, this guy went and used that not knowing to go and educate himself and do research. And now he's the man. And he came to my event and did this. How cool is that? I mean, that is
very cool.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
Direct
that's
impact. Really cool
it was truly remarkable to hear this guy come and do that. It really, the guy saw me and I was rushing through because there were so many people and not very much time. And I told him, I was like, wait, I got to talk to this guy for a second. It was it blew my mind. It was so, so cool.
One day Amla's going to be at an event and some guy's going to come up and be like, I was at the bar trying to hit on you. And I was a raging leftist socialist.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you changed my mind.
This is my hero's journey, guys. Yeah. This is my arc.
Okay, Taylor, look at this girl's shirt. Okay. You see what it says?
Oh, I remember this girl.
Lunchbox.
No, it says breakfast, second breakfast, 11 C's, luncheon, afternoon tea, dinner,
supper. He knows about them, doesn't he?
Wouldn't bet on it, Pip. Anyway, she had this Lord of the Rings shirt, which was so cool that I wanted to just show everyone. And some girl came up to me because she knew how big of a Lord of the Rings fan I was, and she brought her copy of The Silmarillion. And I signed a copy of The Silmarillion. I almost felt bad. I almost felt like...
Oh, man, that's kind of sacrilegious.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, that's like the Tolkien Bible. I felt almost bad signing that book, but... I mean, I did it. I still signed it. Don't get me wrong. But it was very cool. And this girl with that shirt, it was really, really cool. Just some more pictures of some people last night. Packed the house. And then the worst part, or the best part to some people, Amla showed up at the event with Sabrina from PragerForce. Listen, I am all for other people who have some sort of following coming to the event, okay? I am all for that. But here's the issue.
I love it. Tell me the issue.
He hated it. Wow.
No, I loved it. No, I love that because it means that we're working together. But the issue is Amla was on Black People Time. And Amla showed up late. Amla showed up 10 minutes late to the event.
That's honestly not what happened at all.
You didn't show up late.
Well, first of all, I did show up
late. I was already speaking and you showed up.
Okay, for the record, I told her 10 times yesterday how long it takes to get from LA, the part we're in, all the way down to Orange County.
No, it took a long time.
It's like 3 hours.
And I made it in time. I made it to Sabrina's house, which is like, was 30 minutes away from where you were. Like an hour and a half early. No, there was such bad traffic that when we left, we didn't make it in time on 7. We were supposed to be there at 6:55, right? Okay, that's plenty of time to park, get to the event. Will speaks at 7. Traffic changed that to 7:05, okay?
It was 7:10 when she walked in. I looked at my
watch. Yeah, because I had to park and then get out of the car and then find the event, which was very hard to find, I must say. And then I walked in and Will was already speaking, so.
I was.
But
I was rather disappointed that you came late.
No, you recovered.
You know,
glad you came.
Glad you came at all. And many people, it was really funny. They went in line. They all stayed in line. I had a huge line for people to come and buy my book and then have me sign it. And then they went to Amala and were like, Amala, can you sign Will's book?
Yeah, I signed a bunch of books yesterday.
Which is so funny. That
it
it's
is
like,
so funny.
It's my book and they're all signing it from your
signing.
I'm
like, do you want me to sign it in the back? Like, so it's not. And they're like, no.
No, actually, we can white out what Will said and then you just sign it.
I'm like writing notes for people in the book.
Yeah.
She's like, can you write a note to my friend Gabby? I'm like, this is not my book.
They like tear out the page that you signed and drop the book on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yes,
I know. It was really funny. So, yeah, but that was cool. Sorry. And everyone was so excited to see Amala there too. I mean, I would say a lot of the people knew you. I don't know about all of them, but I mean, many of the people there knew who Amala was and were so excited to see her and everything. It was really, that was really cool to see as well.
It's the one stop that I actually showed up to.
Yeah, well, it was the one that's in town. So I'm glad you showed up. For all you guys wondering, next week I'll be speaking at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills on Wednesday night. That is here in Los Angeles or, you know, Riverside area, so about East LA. But I'll be doing that next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. But just... I want to just tell you guys, this book tour for me, everything, we got, since I wasn't able to update everyone as I was gone, we got the number 6 best-selling nonfiction book in America the first week that my book came out, which was truly remarkable. Thank you to all of you guys for purchasing the book and being such ardent supporters of everything I'm doing. We got national bestseller on USA Today and some other lists. And I got to meet truly, I mean 10,000 people or more. So many people, lots of them. It was truly the most remarkable experience to me. And to go around to all these different places and see how conservatives in New York and conservatives in Florida, conservatives in small town Mississippi, conservatives in Utah and Phoenix and California, how they're all different and the ideas that they have and just how the cultures of every single place is different. I've been to most of these places before, but to see them in such quick succession is something that's really remarkable, you know, because you really start to realize how different so many places are in America. And it was just... It was emotional for me, for sure. Like driving home last night after my last event, I mean, I was emotional. I didn't cry, but I was thinking about crying. I was listening I have a playlist called The Will to Power, which is the title of a Nietzsche book. But it's like, it's a meaningful playlist full of meaningful songs to me, right? And I was very emotional at the end of my tour. Like, it's finally done. It was like when Frodo drops the ring and him and Sam are on that rock and he's like, it's done. It's finally done. We did it. You know, that's what it felt like, really. So it's very emotional to me to meet all of you guys. And it gives me a lot of hope. It gives me a lot of hope to know that there's so many of you guys who came to all these events and bought the book and were such strong supporters. And I met so many of you with different stories and backgrounds. And some of you were leftists, some of you were atheists, or some of you were raised conservative or had weird parent stuff or whatever it is. I mean, all of you guys had different stories. And this is why in my speeches I speak so strongly about the power of the individual. Because just because we're all conservative or Christian or whatever... What matters is that you have these individual values that make you. The left wants to make you think of yourself in a collective of people, right? That you are dominated and you have to think a certain way because you are a part of a certain group. But all of you guys, I mean, so many unique, amazing, passionate, articulate, beautiful, beautiful people that I got to meet. It truly meant the world to me to meet all of you. So God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming to my events and purchasing my book. If you still haven't purchased my book, you can get How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies on Amazon or anywhere else that books are sold. We actually ran out of books, but you can order and it'll come. We sold so many books that we ran out of books, which is a good problem to have, but kind of tough. But you guys can still order one. It'll come pretty soon. So anyway, that's my story and my tour. I had a lot of fun.
What's It Tube says, got Will's book. It's better than I thought it would be.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I even wrote it myself.
That's
so
a ringing
thank you.
Endorsement.
Thank you.
It's humbling.
It is humbling. All of you guys doing this is humbling to me. Really. You know? To think that people will actually come out and hear me speak by the thousands every single night. That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, to leave your home and risk getting COVID.
Which is the biggest risk of them all.
Which is the biggest risk. You know, you have 99.99% chance of surviving, but it's still pretty risky. Okay?
Right, right.
But truly, I mean, it is humbling for sure.
I thought of my thing.
What is your thing?
Hayao Miyazaki movies. If they got remade and they were woke and disgusting, I would cry.
Right, if they made Spirited Away and Haku was black. And they said, oh, because you're black.
Yeah, right.
That the, what's the lady's name? The main lady, the witch. It's like the crow.
It's not Zeniba.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm sure a lot of the audience doesn't
anyway. Either.
If she was like the white capitalist oppressor,
right,
like
I would be very sad.
Of course it would. Of course it would.
Yeah.
So you do get us, Amala.
I do get it. If they did that to my Hayao Miyazaki movies, I would be sad.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I would be too.
I would go on a rant on our live show for that.
I talked about that for a long time. I didn't realize
yeah,
so long
our,
about
we
it.
We are now overtime on
yeah,
our show.
Yeah. But people kept watching, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. And it was very beautiful to hear your reaction. I could tell it was very sincere. So
I had a lot of fun. That was probably some of the most fun I've ever had. Other than game nights with you two. This is definitely like some of the most fun that I've ever had in my life. It was honestly life-changing to go on this tour. And I'm not just saying that as a dramatic, you know, artistic romantic that I am. I really feel like it was life-changing to every single day for 3.5 weeks to be in a new city, speaking at a new place, signing new books and meeting new people. Like that's a lot. It is a lot. So, I mean, I hope that I get to do it again. Because I absolutely loved it, even though despite being sick, exhausted, sleep deprived, food deprived, drank a lot of alcohol. I didn't treat my body very well on this tour, let's be honest. But
next time around, you'll do better.
Living that rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mick Jagger, baby.
You Baba, by the way.
Baba, right, exactly. But no, I'll be healthy this weekend, okay? And I'm going to do a lot better. Healthy weekend.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
We are glad to have you back. The show will be much funnier. Now that you are back on your throne.
Thank you.
And I don't have to talk to a pillow of Will.
Well, you do that after the show anyway. Every night when you go home, you do that.
Oh, no, I do not
you
have a
right
Will Witt
pillow.
I did walk right in that. I do not have a Will Witt pillow at home. Nor do I have the dentist one. So.
Okay. It's just the big piece of gum shaped in my head.
Oh, my gosh. This is wishful thinking on Will's part.
It is somewhat wishful thinking. That's okay. I didn't get enough people coming up to me and being nice to me.
Right. He just needs it from me.
I do. And Taylor.
Taylor, say something nice about
Will. Will you
sign
my shoes, Will?
I would gladly sign your shoes. I'll sign your chest, Taylor. I'll give you a chest piece with my name on it.
My shoes are too important for Will to sign them.
My
shoes are too important to me to have you sign them.
Your shoes are too important. Yeah. Your material objects are too important to have...
To have your signature
have
on them.
Me sign them.
Man. Yeah, at the moment.
Okay.
I'm just bullying you at this point.
Thank you. No,
you're
bullying
welcome.
Is good.
It is good. It builds character.
It does.
I stand by it. I was bullied. Were you bullied, Taylor?
Not really.
Will, were you bullied?
Taylor was homeschooled.
I mean, just by like my older brother.
Teachers, yeah.
but he was actually pretty nice, so no.
No, I got bullied a lot, yeah.
He still like, you know, we'd wrestle and he was like much bigger and stronger than me and my little brother were.
Right.
And he would push us to our limit, but he would never like be actually like a bully about it.
Right.
Yeah. So. I got bullied as a kid for sure. Yeah. Got beat up.
Me too.
You know, everything. So, good old days.
On that note,
I'm going to go bully Amala, guys.
Yes.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Let me give you my speech, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live, 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. If you'd like to get a text notifying you when we go live, text live to 41776. That is TO41776. If you'd like to listen to us rather than watch, you can go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review there so that people know that you love the show. We know that you love the show, and the show gets more viewers because that's what we need. We are influencing young people on a day-to-day basis here at PragerU, and we have a new short documentary out called Trading Up. It's about trade school and its importance to American society rather than college and university. So check that out, Trading Up.
And if you've not yet filled out our survey, first of all, those of you who have, thank you. We love seeing the results so far. But there's a survey link below asking you everything about what your favorite segments are, how much you want to see. If you really want Will to come back, or this is your last chance to say,
that's really important.
Send him back out.
Right, right. Yeah. We will fire him if you say so in the survey.
Oh, that's because Amla has so much more authority here than I do.
Yeah.
Of course. This is like
a girl who's been here for 6 months, who's 12 years old, apparently has more authority than I do.
Oh. Like, this is great. It's good to be back, guys.
It is
the
good to be back.
The gang's back together.
Gang's back together. We'll be back on Monday, guys. See you then.
Bye, guys.
See ya.